Some of you know the story. You know that the Buddha's own mother died when he was 7 days old. He was reared by his mother's sister, his aunt, who was also his father's wife. And you know that after the Buddha became enlightened, she and a number of other women followed him. And at Ananda's intercession, they were ordained as nuns. But one day, many years later, Mahaprajapati Gautami, the aunt of the Buddha, came to him rather upset and rather disturbed. She said, "Lord, I don't know what to think." So the Buddha said, I'm paraphrasing it a little, the Buddha said, "Well, what's the matter, auntie?" So she said, "It's those disciples of yours." So the Buddha said, "Well, what have they done now?" So she said, "I don't know what to make of this teaching of yours. I've heard so many of your disciples, but they all seem to give a different version. Some say you teach this, others say you teach that. I don't know what to think." So how am I to know? How am I to know which is really your teaching? They're all teaching in your name. They all say that this is what you say. They're very sure about that. But they all seem to differ. So how am I to know what is your teaching? What is your dharma? So this is the question put by the Buddha's own aunt to the Buddha himself. And the Pali scriptures record the Buddha's reply. He says, "Don't worry." He said, "Take it like this. Whatever you find in practice conduces to peace of mind, conduces to purity, conduces to seclusion, conduces to fewness of desires, conduces to contentment, conduces to insight and wisdom and detachment from the world, conduces to an understanding of the transcendental. Whatever you find in your own experience conduces to these ends, take that as my dharma. Take that as my teaching." This is the principle, this is the guideline that the Buddha himself gives. The test, the criterion, is in practice. As we say in English, colloquially, I hope not too colloquially for this context, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. And if only we remember that simple principle in dealing with Buddhism, it saves us a lot of fuss and bother. We've got many forms of Buddhism now in the world, in the Buddhist world. Buddhism is a very old religion. It's been going on for 2,500 years. It's spread to all sorts of countries of the East. It's spread to the snowy tablelands of Tibet, the sweltering jungles of Southeast Asia, the beautiful islands of Japan, the deserts of Central Asia, the subtropical plains of India. It's spread to all these places, and everywhere it's changed in accordance with local conditions. So we get all sorts of forms, all sorts of presentations of Buddhism. And sometimes it happens that we unfortunate people in the West, we're deluged with all sorts of conflicting presentations of Buddhism. One Buddhist school says Buddhism is this. Another says it's that. One school says, as I point out sometimes, rely on your own efforts. Only you can do it. It's up to you. No one can help you. No God, no Buddha, nobody. Another school comes along and says, you can do nothing. Only the Buddha Amitabha can do it for you. You rely upon him. Trust in him. He's done it already, in fact. You just have to accept that. Completely different point of view, apparently. So we get all these conflicting presentations, all these conflicting interpretations. So we are very much in the position of the Buddha's aunt. We don't know what to think sometimes. All these conflicting presentations and expositions of disciples. So let us remember what the Buddha said to his aunt. It's my dharma, it's my teaching, if it works. If you find in your own spiritual life, your own spiritual experience, that it helps you become more concentrated, more kind, more sensitive, more intelligent, wiser, more understanding. If you find that the teaching helps you in this way, well, this is the dharma. This is the true teaching. This is what the Buddha really taught and really meant. So the proof of the pudding is in the eating. If we want to know, if we want to be sure, whether any form of Buddhism, whether it's Theravada or Tibetan Buddhism, Kagyupa, Nyingmapa, Sakyapa, Tendai, Shin, Zen, if we want to know whether it's really authentic, whether it's really Buddhist in the true sense, then we have to ask ourselves the question, does it really help people to become enlightened? Does it really still continue to produce enlightened beings? Or is it a venerable museum piece, very ancient, very beautiful, very admirable, but for the museum and not for life? We have to ask ourselves this question. Because it's only Dharma, it's only really the Buddha's teaching, if it's alive, and if it works, and if it still helps people to follow the spiral and to follow the process of the higher evolution. Only then is it the Dharma. We must resist the temptation to think that the Dharma is this or the Dharma is that, this teaching or that teaching. Provisionally that may be true, but not in the long run, not ultimately. In Christianity we're familiar with creedal statements. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and so on. Christianity is tied down there in these creedal formulations, but not in Buddhism. There are formulations, there are presentations, but they're all provisional. They're all pointers. As one of the sutras says, it's all a finger pointing to the moon. We saw the full moon last night, at least I hope we did. And if you point it out to someone, you use your finger. But sometimes, instead of looking at the moon, he keeps his eyes fixed on your finger and never goes from the finger to the moon. So it's just like that with many of these teachings. The teachings all point to enlightenment. But people never think of enlightenment. They fasten on the finger, they fasten on the teaching. Never think it's a means to an end, a means for indicating the state of enlightenment. So these are the sort of things that we have to consider. These are the sort of things that we have to bear in mind. Now in this country, we're in process of introducing Buddhism, the Dharma, the Buddhist spiritual tradition, Buddhist spiritual life. But I think we may say that Buddhism in this country, as and when it develops, is very unlikely to follow any existing Buddhist pattern. Because our needs, our approach, our background in this country are different from those of any Eastern country. What we have to do in this country is to draw upon the essence, the inner spirit of the Buddha's teaching, as preserved in all schools, take the best, not just in an eclectic sort of way, not just intellectually, but draw upon them deeply and spiritually, and unite and blend them all into one great stream of spiritual tradition adapted to the needs of people in this country. This is really the task which is before us. It isn't very easy to do. It's something which will demand a great deal of effort and spiritual experience on our part. It's a very vast subject, incidentally. I don't want to touch upon it really this morning. But let us bear it in mind that the Dharma really represents not this doctrine, not that teaching, but a great current of spiritual life in which we can participate, in which we can help others to share, and which sweeps us on, bears us on at any rate, eventually in the direction of enlightenment, in the direction of nirvana.